Today on Family Talk.
Revival in America can only happen when our leaders place God at the center of their lives. But how can those in public office be reached with the gospel?
Right actions begin with right thinking, and right thinking begins with thinking right about God. Mm-hmm. So how can you expect right actions in terms of the course of a nation unless your nation's leaders think right? And how can you expect them to think right if they don't know the Word of God?
Yeah.
And we're in a biblically illiterate America, increasingly so. There has to be a spiritual dimension to this, and it comes through the church doing its job of teaching the Word of God to political leaders.
You're listening to Family Talk, a part of the James Dobson Family Institute. That voice you just heard is our guest today, Ralph Drollinger. He, alongside his wife Danielle, actively minister to politicians and influential leaders on a weekly basis. Yesterday, they briefly touched on their organization while sharing their testimonies of coming to know Jesus. Today, they'll explain the deep and meaningful Bible studies they facilitate on Capitol Hill. Ralph and Danielle Drollinger also will share their excitement for how hungry these leaders are for God's Word. Well, there's a lot of content to get to today, so let's get started. Here is part two of their conversation with Dr. James Dobson, right here on Family Talk.
Well, Ralph and Danielle, we were talking about something very exciting at the end of the program, and that has to do with the spread of Capitol Ministries, your ministry, which is really Bible study and devotions for people in Congress and now in the White House. I think you said there are 11 members of the White House cabinet, really. I mean, the Lord is blessing it. You're in the House of Representatives. You're in the Senate and in 42 states across the country. And you also told me when we were in my office a few minutes ago that you're international.
Yeah,
how
we
many
have
countries
about
are
24 federal capitals overseas.
How do you explain this? You
the
guys
Holy
started
Spirit.
With nothing.
The Holy Spirit.
You don't look like a wealthy man. where did the resources come to do all this?
Well, you know, all those fundraising principles that money follows ministry. Mm-hmm. And Bill Bright used to tell me, big visions inflame the hearts of men. So we've always found that God's work done in God's way does not lack for God's support. Mm-hmm. So we just keep pioneering, pushing the envelope, and then we watch him grow our budget accordingly. It's just amazing, and we're not in debt. We never have been, but we never have a whole lot of extra. I'm sure it's like that.
I'm
sure it's like that for you.
I understand that. Now, assure me that you're not giving what we call thin soup to these people.
Yeah.
Are you really giving them the unexpurgated gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You're not editing it. You're giving the Word of God to these folks.
Yeah, I have a seminary background of exegetical precision is the seminary that I went to taught me to really think in terms of the Great Commission. Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And Paul, when in Book of Acts, he addresses the Ephesian elders who come down to the port city of Miletus to visit him while he's hurrying back to Jerusalem. He says, elders, I did not shrink. He started the Ephesian church, spent 3 years there. He says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
And so those two passages really inform my ministry philosophy that I need to be about the blocking and tackling every week of preparing a high-protein diet, Word of God, that's not only exegetically drilled down deep, but has a custom application to the life of a public servant. And, you know, when you do those two things, there's not a whole lot of stuff out there like it. And so we just came out, for instance, with 52 of my Bible studies. I write 52 8-page Bible studies per year. Have done that.
One a week. I'm holding one of them in my hand. It's unbelievable that you get that done.
So it's CAPMIN, short for Capitol Ministries, capmin.org is where you can subscribe and get through your email every week or through our app the actual Bible study that I'm going to be teaching in D.C. that week. And actually, these, to tell you the truth, are supplication to what I teach when they're there together. So when they're there together, we open the Word, and right now we're in the second chapter of James. Mm-hmm. We've been in James now for a year. We spent 2 years in the Sermon on the Mount prior to that.
You find hunger there?
Yeah.
Is there hunger in the leadership?
The fact that they'll sit there and let me teach without interrupting me, and hopefully, you know, I have something to say that I didn't say last week, so I have to do my homework and be prepared because they want a high-protein diet. And the high-protein diet builds spiritual musculature. So I'm all about expositing the Word of God week in and week out, which is a tremendously disciplined life to do that.
You allow them to ask you questions?
No, not at all.
Yes.
And please don't interrupt me, Dr. Dobson. No.
You sound like a Bruin, man.
It's called typical Trojans. They're always interrupting me.
But Danielle, what's your role in this?
A lot of administration, and there's a lot of new members that are women that Ralph would have no way of really intimately knowing and counseling and helping with them, and I'm able to do that. We have quite a few women in all three of the Bible studies.
Are you thrilled with what's taking place?
I love it. There's nothing better than watching a member actually digesting the word that you bring from the kitchen, unadulterated. You know, here's the meal.
Unexpurgated.
There you go.
I know Bruins don't understand
that. That's a good word. I'm going to have to look that up.
We didn't know that word. Right.
See if you're using it right.
And to watch them eat that meal and then implement it in their life. There's nothing like that. I mean, we can't expect men and women in office to vote right if they reject the author of the book that we live by.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. You have to start at the heart of the matter, which is the heart of the man and the heart of the woman. Good laws come from good hearts. Bad laws come from bad hearts.
That's right. And, you know, the Word of God says of itself that it's living and active. And do we really believe that? If we really believe that it's living and active, then to write out a Bible study that not only we look at when we're all together in our respective physical Bible studies, but we can hand these out to thousands of other people. And we walk the halls every week and hand it out to 150 offices that ask for it within the Senate and the House.
You deliver them yourself?
Yeah, and then we deliver them electronically, too. And I think in our worldwide ministry, we have over 50,000 people that read them in five different languages. We just started an Arabic translation because of all places, Capital Ministries is going to Iraq because there's a pastor there that wants to be the ministry leader for Capital Ministries in Baghdad because he's got all these parliamentarians in his church. Mm-hmm. And that's a long story, another radio program.
Let me role play with you, can I? Have you had this conversation with a member of Congress who says, Ralph, I just got elected a year ago, and I tell you, I'm overwhelmed. It's so hard to get things done here, and there are a lot of people who oppose every word that you say, and I'm away from home, and it's depressing and hard. Does the word have anything to say to me?
Amen, it does. We minister, we just don't become exegetical activists trying to tell them what the Bible says about the hot topics of today, but there's so much about codifying the person's own spiritual maturity in order to give him the longevity he needs to really make an impact. And, of course, William Wilberforce is a great illustration of that. Yes. It took him, two decades?
He just didn't give up.
That's right. Well, he had indefatigable strength. That's a big word, I know. But he was able to persevere in British Parliament in order to end slavery.
Wilberforce was being discipled by Newton.
Yeah. Speak to that, honey.
No, just that they walk side by side. You know, he was being discipled
and it's
by
to your
the
point.
Word. Yeah.
If you don't have a good pastor, Bible teacher in the Capital community, these guys can be deflated within one session and want to go home. And we have a lot of guys that still do hang it up because it's just so difficult being away from the family 4 days a week. 9 months out of the year.
The temptations are great there, too.
Huge, huge. And in my new tome called Oaks in Office, which is 52 of my favorite Bible studies, I deal with a lot of those pastoral issues of how you can keep in a persevering status in the Capital
community. You've got four editions here that you brought, and this is really a compilation of these weekly
Right.
Bible study.
So of the Bible studies I write every week for the members, I've chosen 52 of my favorite that I think are most pertinent to Christian worldview development and put them in a four-volume tome called Oaks in Office. And each of those has big margins that the person could write notes in as he interacts with Scripture as it's applied to the life of a public servant. And we hope that this becomes materials that a local layman in his own city would use to disciple a couple city council members.
How do they get it?
They go to capmin.org, capmin.org, and they can order it there or then go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But I think you'll find them scintillating. Do you know that word?
I'll work on that one.
But they're very much drilled down exegetically deep, but have a custom application to the specific life of a public servant. And so I'm hoping God will use these to make disciples in city government ministries throughout the nation, which America sorely needs, because most of the guys in D.C. come from state capitals, and most of the guys in state capitals come from local city government. There's 40,000 incorporated cities in America. Virtually none have outposts for Christ. And so we're trying to utilize Oaks in Office as the fodder to develop disciples amongst the political people group as they emerge and start in their career path.
You have tuned into Family Talk, a ministry produced by the James Dobson Family Institute. You can learn more about how our ministry is growing by visiting DobsonFamilyInstitute.com. Okay, now let's dive back into the conclusion of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Ralph and Danielle Drollinger right here on Family Talk.
Danielle, you proud of this man?
Oh, so proud. It's just, it's really fun to be in ministry with him and see what the Lord's doing.
Do you speak or meet with women's groups?
You know, I haven't that much because we're traveling back and forth every week across the country.
That's not an excuse. You're good at it. Why wouldn't you do it?
Oh, I don't feel so good at it. But maybe someday I'd like that.
We have been so busy with the start of all these ministries throughout the world that it's just been consuming.
I don't know how you do it, really. I don't.
Yeah, when your husband says, oh, honey, this weekend we're going to Ecuador. You know, what do you do?
We just started a new ministry in Ecuador.
Yeah.
And the American
great.
Ambassador, who's a believer, is helping us with that. We've got a great Ecuadorian ministry leader and the assistant to the speaker, the equivalent in their parliamentary system of their speaker. She's a strong believer, and she just asked our ministry leader to come in and start a ministry in the capital with all the members.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that happen all over the world.
How about Romania? You told me.
Yeah,
you.
We're in Romania. We're in Ukraine. We're about to start in Latvia. Mm-hmm. We have a new guy that we're bringing into the EU. He's going to be the ministry leader in Brussels. And 1 week out of the month, they meet in Strasbourg, France. So you've got to be agile. And he's going to develop ministry amongst the 26 nations. EU Parliament in Brussels, and from there be our regional director to start ministries in all the Western European federal capitals.
God is doing something
here.
Oh,
it's just wonderful. We can't keep up with it, but you know what? It really gets you up in the morning, just like I know you and your ministry. It just so invigorates you when you're doing what God's called you to do. There's nothing better, is there?
There really isn't. There's no greater thrill than winning somebody to Christ.
That's right.
Or helping to restore a family, a marriage.
Amen. Right.
Helping with parenthood. That's exhilarated me for 45 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And it just never stops. But what you all are saying is that there is something going on here in the United States that we have not seen before, but it has an international flavor to it. You know, to have the senior person, the secretary of these departments of government, I've never seen anything like that happen before.
These are very
busy people.
And well, we meet at 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings because they hardly sleep. You know, you get to that level, you're probably this way too. You don't sleep a lot when you have a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a Holy Spirit enablement. And so we see members coming to the Cabinet Bible Study 15 minutes early. They'll get there. If we're not set up and we have to, because of ethics, we have to serve them with Capital Ministries China and silverware, and Capital Ministries buys all the food because we don't want government support and we don't want to use the staff of the government to do that even before hours of employment. And so we have to confine to ethics, but we find if we're not set up in time, they're there before we're set up because they just want to fellowship with one another. Yeah. But it's an interesting dimension. It's more so with the White House Cabinet than even the Senate or the House. Mm-hmm. And that's because the White House Cabinet, because a lot of their confirmations in their department heads haven't occurred because of stoppages in the Senate. They're the only believer in their whole department. And so the only time they get solace from one another, from other believers, is at the Cabinet White House Bible Study. So they show up early just to fellowship with one another. And it's sometimes we have to kind of kick them out and tell them to go to work because they really enjoy one another's company.
Well, I'm going to ask you a provocative question. Without being overtly political about it, talk about what you're seeing with President Trump. You think he's growing spiritually? And
I do.
He is. Take a run at that.
I don't want to divulge pastoral confidentiality, but he writes me back notes on my Bible studies quite often.
Does he really?
And they're really great notes of encouragement to me. And he says, I really enjoyed this Bible study. And this happened to be one I remember. It's called, Are You a Tritutionalist or a Pentitutionalist? And I won't go into that. That's a whole another half hour. But basically, he likes the Pentitutional view of God's mediator.
Does he know that word?
He does now. I can teach it to you, too, even though you're from USC. I think you'll catch on. But anyway, it basically relates to how God mediates his reign through five institutions today, one being government, one being the church, one being the family, you're familiar with that, one being commerce, and the other being marriage. And I can go into that, but I have a whole Bible study on that, and it really helps. If I could only teach one Bible study for 1 hour to a person, especially the president, it would be that Bible study. And Trump wrote me back on that one saying how much he likes it because it helps you to think clearly through difficult issues.
I would like you all to give me and give us your vision, best case for America.
Wow. Hmm.
You ever been asked that question before?
No. No one has.
Well, I bet you've thought about it.
To see men and women discipled in Christ running for office at every level, and that seasoning their institutions, you know, whether it be the state level, the county level, the city level, or government at the highest levels.
I would add to that a quote that I think codifies the answer to that in my heart. Earl Rodmacher, the past president of Western Theological Seminary in Portland, Oregon, a good Baptist school seminary up there, he once said, and I've always remembered this from my college days, right actions begin with right thinking, and right thinking begins with thinking right about God. Mm-hmm. So how can you expect right actions in terms of the course of a nation unless your nation's leaders think right? And how can you expect them to think right if they don't know the Word of God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're in a biblically illiterate America. Increasingly so. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't get our best Bible teachers on the campuses rubbing shoulders with not only our present but our up-and-coming political leaders, it's all for naught. Making America great again will soon be reversed.
Yeah.
There has to be a spiritual dimension to this, and it comes through the church doing its job of teaching the Word of God to political leaders. And so that's what Capital Ministries is all about.
You and Danielle were talking earlier about your views on the Apostle Paul's ministries. Speak to that.
Well, it's interesting when you survey the book of Acts that, first of all, when the Apostle Paul was ordained by Christ for ministry or converted, in Acts 9 we call it the Damascus Road experience, Acts chapter 9. It's interesting to see that Jesus blinds Saul, and then he sends a surrogate messenger named Ananias to go to Saul to explain why he's been physically blinded. And in Acts 9:15, Jesus says, Go, Ananias, for he, Saul, is a chosen instrument of mine to declare my glory before the house of Israel and kings. and the Gentile nations. So if you pick up on that one specificity of Basileus in the Greek, kings, and you trace that forward from Acts 9, you see that Paul, basically on the three missionary journeys, goes to capital cities. 14 of the 18 cities that he planted churches in on the three missionary journeys were capital cities. And Luke, who's writing the book of Acts, recording all this, of the 14 individual conversions that are recorded in the book of Acts, 9 of them are politically related people.
Really?
Yeah. And if that's not enough, who is Luke writing Acts to, and who does Luke write the Gospel of Luke to? To most excellent Theophilus. And we know from our Greek thesaurus that basically most excellent in the Greek means a political leader. So he's writing Luke and Acts to convert one political leader to Christ. And if you do a word count, because Luke is kind of a doctor who's long-winded, not that all doctors are long-winded, he basically, if you take a word count of Luke and Acts together, it's one-third of the total word count of the New Testament. So you could reason that one-third of the total New Testament word count is written to influence one political leader to come to Christ. And so I say, theologically, that the key to the Great Commission, the key even, as it says in 1 Timothy 2, how are you going to have a nation that's really on the right track? It's to convert political leaders and to build them
to
Christ-like.
And pray for those in authority.
That's
over
right.
Us.
First of all, then, which is parakaleo protos, first of importance, Timothy, Pastor Timothy, is that you pray prayers, and we know from verse 4, evangelistic prayers, for kings and those who are in authority, so that, and this is called the Hina clause in the Greek, if you pray evangelistically for political leaders, in order that, the Hina clause, you may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And that's a here and now promise. If you want to make America great again, the biblical formula is to evangelize political leaders. Because God's word promises us that if we evangelize and disciple political leaders, which Paul, Acts 9:15, was called to do, and we see him carry out that calling in the preceding chapters of the book of Acts, then that's the way you create a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity in the here and now.
What do you say to the pastors out there who say politics is dirty and we have the separation of church and state, and I really don't want anything to do with what happens in politics or those political leaders? And how do you link what you just said with this aversion?
Well, I would say this. Well, Mr. Pastor out there, if you just heard what I said, that is that Paul was evangelizing political leaders. Why in the world are you not doing so also? The key to your city's future, the key to our state's future, the key to our national future is for you to start discipling political leaders. And that's what 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says is the key to a successful nation. And of course, that has nothing to do with the eternal ramifications of God's kingdom, which we're all about primarily. But if you want effect for the here and now, then be about getting outside the walls of your church and go down to City Hall, find a couple city council guys that you can win to Christ and start maturing them in the faith. And then buy Oaks in Office, which will give you probably 2 years of really good Bible studies specifically related to them to mature them in Christ.
One of the most important things Martin Luther King wrote was letters from a Birmingham jail.
Yes.
Sent to government, in essence, you know. So there's something a little weird about this unwillingness to be influential in the culture. And
well, even look at the parallel to Philippians. You know, at the end of Philippians, Paul, it's a prison epistle. He's gone up the peninsula of modern-day Italy, and we know from Acts to witness to Caesar. Caesar doesn't come to Christ, but the other people of Caesar's household did. He says, the brethren of Caesar's household greet you also. So he was about his Acts 9:15 commissioning to the end, where he's reaching kings and those who are in authority.
And Dr. Dobson, I would challenge pastors to read through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and look at the heart of God when it comes to kings. It's consistent.
He sets them up,
doesn't
he?
Through. Yeah. Yes.
Give your website where people can contact you or help you or get these weekly Bible studies?
Yeah, they can get these Bible studies and pray and not only study for your own edification, but pray that these would be adhered to by the life of our public servants throughout the nation. And it's at capmin.org. That's CAPMIN, short for Capital Ministries. CAPMIN.org. That's all the address you need.
God be with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
You've been listening to Family Talk, in a conversation Dr. James Dobson had with Ralph and Danielle Drollinger. I'm Roger Marsh, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to their discussion over these past couple of days. If you were encouraged to hear about the work of Capital Ministries, be sure to visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. There you will see how to support their organization. You can also find information on where to purchase Ralph's devotionals called Oaks in Office. You'll find all that and much, much more when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the Broadcast tab. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today and for listening every day this week to our radio broadcasts. Be sure to join us again Monday for more enlightening and encouraging content right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a great weekend, everyone.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.